Or loudly, because like I say, I can't hear anything. So, guys, how many do not know the Christmas story? Oh, good, I don't have to do that one then. Right. I did write one or two things down. I won't look at the person or mention their name, but I spoke to someone a few weeks ago. And I said, it was really nice to see you in church. And this person said, do you know what? I need to be challenged. And that challenged me. When that person said, I need to be challenged, I thought, that's so refreshing. Because we live in an age where some people don't want to be challenged. They don't want to know the truth. Because although the truth, the Bible says, will set you free, there are people that maybe in your life, but certainly in my life where I come around, they don't really want to know the truth. And it's refreshing to hear someone say, I want to be challenged. So I hope that you want to be challenged too. Today, I am looking at rights, our rights. And there's a portion of scripture that says this. I'll just read the portion before. It's in 1 John 1:9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, that's Israel, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those that believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor a husband's decision or a man's will, but born of God. So that word right, those that believed, he gave the right to become children of God. And we've looked at the whole thing about being a child of God. And as I was thinking about the rights that we have to become children of God, I heard someone else coin this phrase, so it's not mine. With rights comes responsibilities. So when we say, yes, I'm a child of God, I have the right to be who I am because God's created me that way, with rights comes responsibility. And with responsibility comes personal responsibility. So that's what I want to talk about today, this service before Christmas. I didn't want to go into the story of Jesus coming as a child in a manger with the wise men and the oxen and the animals, because we all should know that story. I wanted to come today saying that you have the right to become children of God if you believe in his name, if you believe that the whole story, the whole narrative around what we celebrate as Christians is the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. If you believe that to be true, that Jesus came as a savior to save sinners such as me, and maybe such as you, then you have the right to be a child of God. But with those rights come responsibilities. And I hope you can grasp where I'm going to today, even though I can't hear myself what I'm saying. It's Matthew 27:3. I want to read a portion of scripture before I get to the piece that I want to concentrate on. When Judas had betrayed him, and we know that story if we've been in church long enough, Judas betrayed Jesus. He saw that Jesus was condemned. He was seized with remorse. And there's times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that you've made a decision that you thought was good, even though it wasn't good. And when you've seen the outcome of your decision, you wished you hadn't said what you said and did what you did, or didn't do what you were supposed to do. And that's what's happening here. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And this is what he said: I have sinned. He took personal responsibility. He realized what he had done. And there's not many times that I hear that brought out through this portion of scripture, but he said, I have sinned. He didn't say someone else made me do it. He didn't say it's because of my upbringing and my circumstances. I had an underprivileged life. I was in work one day. I worked in a factory, and it was a monotonous job. And I used to put bolts into a machine. And the machine used to come down and put plastic locks on the top, and then go up. I take the bolts out and put them in a box. And I did 15,000 of those a day, and it was really, really monotonous. Now, these moulds were £10,000 to develop, because in them days, there wasn't laser cutters. They all had to be done by hand, by craftsmen, and the average price was £10,000. Now, the thing not to do is to put a bolt in and then another bolt on top of it, because what will happen when metal hits metal, the mould will disintegrate. Well, one day, I'm taking out these components, and I didn't notice there was one stuck in the top. What are the chances? One stuck in the top, so I put the bolts in, it came down, it smashed the mould. And my foreman said to me, "Don't come into work tomorrow because you'll probably be sacked." And tomorrow came, and I went into work. And I took responsibility. My charge hand came in, and you could see the steam coming out of his ears as he was being told. And he looked at me and he said, "What have you got to say for yourself?" And I went, "I'm sorry." "You're sorry? What's the excuse?" "There is none." "What do you mean there is no excuse? Don't you mean someone distracted you?" I went, "No, I just lost concentration. I'm doing 15,000 of these a day. I didn't see it." So he pulled me to one side and he spoke gently to me. He said, "Andrew, are you telling me that you're not blaming anyone else but you?" And I said, "Yes." And you could see his demeanor changed. And he said to me, "I don't know what to do with this. I'm used to people giving me excuses and blaming someone else. Yet you have taken personal responsibility. I'm going to shout at you now and tell you to go and do something because I don't want to lose my credibility." So he shouted at me and he sent me off to do a mundane job. The point I'm making here is this. No matter how difficult things are, the Bible says if we know the truth, then the truth will set us free. So when we take personal responsibility, there will be an outcome for that. And sometimes it's not very pleasant. But I will guarantee you this. If you stick by the truth, the truth will certainly set you free. So this message today is about personal responsibility. And here we have a man who betrayed Jesus. He loved him. He ate with him. He saw him do the miracles day after day. Yet Satan had come into him, the Bible says, and he betrayed the one that he loved. This is what it says. He says, "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." Their reply is, "What is that to us?" They replied, "That's your responsibility." What is it to us? That is your responsibility. So my challenge to myself and to us as a congregation, if we truly want to grow, then we have to be challenged. It would be easy for me to do a survey and say, "How many people like chocolate?" And the next week, bring chocolate. And then hopefully the week after that, you'll come because you get chocolate. But how about Brussels sprouts? It is the season for them, isn't it? I like Brussels sprouts. But not everybody does. I want to go back to what Scripture says. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's come to the end of this year. And the next Sunday we meet together will be the last Sunday of this year. An opportunity to say, where did that year go? But also an opportunity to say, I want to take personal responsibility. Because the Bible talks to us about salvation. I read a scripture out and it says that those that believe have the right to be called children of God. It says those that believe. That you cannot give that gift to someone else. You cannot do that. Only God can. Only Christ can enter through the Spirit of God into a man's heart and see him born again, to see him regenerated. Even if you stop sinning, it won't make no difference to your salvation. You have to receive Christ personally. Take personal responsibility. Luke 11:24, it says this, and it's talking about the spiritual things now. And we know if there's a Holy Spirit, there's a demonic spirit. And this portion of scripture is, you can look at it in two ways. You can look at a house being an individual and the house being the house of Israel, the house being swept clean because of the preaching of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And you can see that they got their house in order and then they refused to accept Christ and their latter position was worse than their first. But I just want to make this personal to me and to you. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest. It does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and in order. Now you imagine, well, you don't have to imagine, when you was outside of Christ's protection, Christ's grace, we call that those that live in the world, those that don't understand that they've been saved through Jesus Christ, those that are not Christians, followers of Christ, those that have not understood that they're sinners saved by grace. You imagine they try and clean their lives up. If they don't replace what they swept out of their house with Christ, then what happens is what happens in the second part of this parable. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. We have to take personal responsibility for cleaning up our lives. And the good news is this is a challenging message. So that individual is going to get exactly what they want. I need to be challenged, because when I'm challenged, I will grow. When you look through life, I met a friend of mine. I haven't seen him for a while, and he was my best man at my wedding, my best friend at school, and his name's Steve. And he came and delivered. He tracked me down. He knew that I lived in a house and where I lived roughly, but he was driving round and round and round. He finally got me, and we had a conversation. We were talking about, this is how you know you're older, the younger generation. And we was talking about how it seems that we protect, as parents, we protect our grandchildren far more than we did our children. They're precious little ones. And we'll do everything to wrap them in cotton wool. And yet, as we were talking and discussing that, we both came to the same realization for us. That wasn't necessarily a good thing, because we was protecting them from the very things, the very challenges in life that will cause them to take personal responsibility. Not to look to someone else, but to look to themselves. And when I go back to that story about me with my charge hand taking personal responsibility, it wasn't because I was a saint. It wasn't because I always got things right. It was because I'd been brought up in such a way that I took personal responsibility, even if it hurt me. But because of that, I reaped a reward. Most people in my position would have been dismissed, because he would have said, I don't want excuses. You should have been paying attention. But he could not answer the truth, because the truth you cannot answer. You cannot argue with, sorry. And so we have a situation here where when we look at our bodies as a house, when we look at our circumstances and our situations as the house of God, the Bible says that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, yes? So I can use this because it is scriptural. I can say that we are a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible says salt water and fresh water cannot flow from the same stream. Wickedness and goodness shouldn't come out of the same overflow of the heart, because the Bible says that the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there is an ongoing journey if we want to take personal responsibility for ourselves. When you look through Scripture, even the disciples said, but what about him, Lord? Thinking that he wasn't going to die. And he says, what is it to you? When we look at the parable of the 11th hour worker, and if you take Jesus as the landowner, he says to people, can I not do what I want to do with my own money? Can I not be generous? What is it to you? So we cannot look at what someone else is doing. We cannot look at someone else's life and say, yeah, but what about them? What about that person at school? What about that person in university? What about that preacher down the road? What about this person? They say they're a Christian, but we need to take personal responsibility. And I believe when we take personal responsibility and we realize that we have the right to be children of God, we can tell God the truth. We can say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Father, come and help me to be all that you've called me to be. In Matthew 22:16, They sent the disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." So they're saying, "Lord, we know that you're a teacher, and we know what you teach has integrity. It has substance. And we want to be people that when we speak to others, they may not believe what we believe, but we want them to believe that we are people of integrity, that we preach the truth." Because I come back to that word, because we're living in, I believe, a generation where we're, some of us, even in the church, we don't want to hear the truth because the truth will cause us to make a decision that might upset someone else that we really value. It might upset someone else's opinion of us. Now, we're not talking about being hostile. We're not talking about saying things in a way that is derogatory. They said to Jesus, "You're a man of integrity." That's what I want to be, a man of integrity. I don't get it right. You may not believe what I believe, but I want you to believe that I believe it. I want you to believe that I've searched the scriptures, found the truth, and trying in my inadequacy to communicate that truth to someone else. You're a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God. You don't teach the way of a God, you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. So we need to know what the truth is. And then it goes on to say this: "You are not," or in the New English translation, "you ain't," "you aren't." "You are not swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are." Now, I put that in there as a challenge to me and you, because we can be persuaded by people's status in life. If somebody is taller and smarter in appearance, we might think they have credibility. Many years ago, using this friend of mine, Steve, his brother-in-law was a very wealthy man. He used to not just work on cars, he used to make them. He used to develop one-off vehicles, and he was quite wealthy, but he always wore an old boiler suit, and he looked really scruffy. And he went into Manegatons, as it was in them days. This is many, many years ago. He went into Man Eggerton's to buy a car with the money that it cost to buy that car in his pocket, in cash, when you could use cash. And he walked in, and nobody gave him any attention whatsoever, because they thought that this man couldn't afford the cars that were in the showroom. And eventually he went up to the sales desk and he said, "Excuse me, are you going to serve me?" And they said, "Yeah, what do you want?" He said, "All I want to do is to tell you that I'm going to the Ford garage next door to buy a car with this." And he went out. Now, if you're in sales, don't fall into the trap of thinking that appearances are everything, because they're not. Because God says himself, when he said, "Go and anoint the next king," Jesse's going, "This one's tall, this one's smart, this one's wealthy," paraphrasing. "This one is dressed in the way that he looks like a king. This one speaks like a king." And yet God says, "I don't look at the outward, I look at the inward." And that's what we need to do if we're going to take personal responsibility. We're going to see someone, because the Bible says to us, we don't know when we're going to entertain angels, when we entertain strangers. The Bible says, when you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, you give a cup of cold water to me. When did I clothe you, Lord? When you clothed one of these. So our challenge is, as church, if we want to grow, is to take, I believe, personal responsibility and not to be swayed by others. Because the Bible says, if you really want to put it in a box, how can I discern? Ask for it. Lord, give me wisdom, give me discernment. The Bible gives us a really good clue about a person's character. Do you want to hear what it is? I've just got to find it. No, what he says is this: you will be known by your fruits. By your fruits. "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not cast out demons? Depart from me," he says, "for I do not know you." You may know of God, but you may not know God. It's about fruits. And when we talk about fruits in the Bible, we're not talking about apples and oranges. It says fruit in keeping with repentance. That's the challenge. Repentance has to be personal. I can't repent on behalf of my wife. Lord, I'm really sorry that she was annoyed with me this morning. I'm really sorry that I was annoyed with her. I weren't. This is just make-believe. If you start praying and interceding for Susan, Lord, help her. I'm just giving you a story here, an illustration. But you see what I mean? I cannot ask God to repent for something that someone else has done. I can only repent for what I have done. Personal responsibility. I was listening. I've been doing a lot of reading. When I say reading, I mean listening to books and tapes and YouTube clips. And I'm really interested in what's happening in the world. And by listening, I can digest a lot of information. And I'm really encouraged by what I hear and also disillusioned by what I hear, because it seems to be that no one wants to take personal responsibility anymore. And when it comes to salvation, that's between you and God. My salvation is personal. It's not yours, and yours is not mine. So as we go into Christmas and this period of festivities, let's not be swayed by what we see, but let's be swayed by what God says in accordance with the truth. I want to challenge us today to seek the truth. In whatever area is you're looking at, it may be you're looking at something different to me, whatever it is that is really challenging you at the moment within your walk, really look for the truth. Don't be swayed by personality. There's certain people I like to listen to and certain people that really I don't like to listen to. Not because the content is bad, but because of just the way they speak. It's like chalk. But I shouldn't be swayed by that. I should listen to the truth. Not be swayed by the person, but be swayed by the message. In John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you will really be my disciples." So when we look at who are we, let's go back to that first scripture that I read out in John 1:9. It says, the light, the true light that gives light to everyone, that's me and you, to the lost and the found, to the righteous and the unrighteous. That light has been given to everyone, is coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. There are times where God is right in front of me and you, but we don't recognize him because we don't see who he is through scripture. We maybe see who he is through Sunday school or through what the media says about him. If we was to listen to what other people said about Christ, we would certainly put our trust in a different type of deity. It wouldn't be Jesus who says you need to repent before you can be forgiven. We would listen to a Jesus that says, I love you so much, you don't need to repent. I forgive you anyway. We need to seek out the truth. He came to which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There is a right that we have, and with that right becomes responsibility. Responsibility. The Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you will really be my disciples. So within that portion of scripture, if we want to know that we're a disciple of Christ, if we want to know that we belong to him, that we have the right to be called children of God, that he will help us to make distinction between what is good and what is bad. If we want to know that, then we need to lay hold of his teaching. His teaching, not my words. And that's why we have encouraged Grace Community Church over the last 12 years since we've been part of this ministry, for you to see what God says. For you to see what God says, not just to take the words that someone like myself can put together, string together in a way that sounds good. No, you need to really know that it is the truth. And it says, if you hold on to my teachings, you will really be my disciples. So my prayer for myself and for us is that we will truly be disciplined of him. We will truly be his disciples. It says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So when we listen to people who tell stories, and I would like to be able to tell more stories, but I feel more comfortable just reading scripture. But when we listen to the stories, they may sound good, they may sound truthful, but are they? Because if we miss the mark, to miss the mark is sin, and it's an old one, but it's worth using again. It's like a dartboard, and the bullseye is the mark, and we are so close to the bullseye. We're still missed. Whether you've missed it by the way I play darts and you miss the board completely, or you miss it just, you've still missed the mark. That's why we need to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So yes, it is a challenge, but let's take personal responsibility. Matthew 14:15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. Hopefully you'll pick up what this story is. And it's already getting late, so the darkness is coming. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves food." Now you imagine, wherever Jesus went, there was a crowd, yes? 4,000, 5,000, not including women and children, a multitude of people. And the disciples are getting concerned because they're concerned for people. And they're saying, "Listen, if you don't send them away, Lord, now they're going to be hungry. Send them away so they can buy food for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Now that seems to be contradictory to what I've said. So in one hand, the disciples are saying, go and take personal responsibility. Go and feed yourselves. And yet Jesus says, no, you feed them. There are times where our personal responsibility is to feed other people with God's word. Because when you look at the story of the Ethiopian, and it says he didn't understand Isaiah. He didn't understand it. And Philip came alongside and said, let me explain. Let me feed you. There are times where it's right for you to feed someone else. It's right for you to feed them physically, like a child, a baby. You don't expect Petra, you know, to wake up this morning, you go, right, feed yourself. I hope you don't do that. Feed yourself. No, you have a responsibility to feed them until they can feed themselves. That's what being discipled is. Disciplined of God. So there are times where when you read scripture or you listen to someone like me, you could say, and I hope you don't, well, that's contradictory. One minute he's saying, take personal responsibility. Then he's saying, no, you do it. You feed me. Well, I'm talking about the word of God. Take personal responsibility for your own actions. The sin that's in your life is your sin, not mine. It's your burden, not mine. The Bible contradicts itself, but it doesn't. In a scripture, it says, each person should carry their own load, their own burden. Then it says in a verse down, carry one another's burdens. But it's a different burden. There's a weight of responsibility that's put upon us, but there's also a picture there of saying, when the knees bend under the weight of life, come along and help your brother. And that's what I'm trying to communicate through this portion of scripture. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." So for us as a church, and it's not about growing numerically, it's about growing spiritually as an individual. Because Susan gave me a picture the other month where she went to see someone and they had a small plum tree in the garden, just a tiny thing, but it was laden with fruit. It was only small. I've got a big plum tree in my garden. I had one plum on it. I don't know what Jeanette's doing with her small plum tree, but it had hundreds on the blooming thing. So what I'm trying to say there is this was something that was small, yet it was very fruitful. Are you still with me? Good. Acts 6:1. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So here we are, we're in church, and one group are complaining about the other group because it's just not fair. It's just not fair. They're being fed, but we're not. Your people are being looked after, but our people aren't. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." But it doesn't finish there. It sounds a little bit hierarchical, doesn't it? It says, "I'm more important than waiting tables." You know, waiting tables is a very important responsibility. You know, when I've asked you not to pay attention to how somebody looks, when I've asked you not to be persuaded by the way they speak, not to assume that they have more than what they do, it's the same with scriptures like this when you're taking personal responsibility. Because in church life, and I don't know how it has been for you, I can only speak for myself, there were certain things that I thought, oh, I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to be able to hit them high notes that Sarah could. I can hardly speak sometimes, let alone hit the high notes, except when I hit my thumb. I can hit the high notes. I'd like to be able to be mechanically minded, but I'm not. I'd like to be taller, but that's not going to happen. I'd like to be wiser. I can ask for it, and hopefully God will help me with that. When I first became a Christian and I came into the ministry, you can answer this. What job, what responsibility do you think I desired? A job within the church that I wanted to do. Anyone brave enough to have a go? Doorman. Well done, Nigel. He knows me. I wanted to be on the door. What's that song say? Or what's scripture say? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I wanted to be on the door. Why did I want to be on the door? I'm glad you asked. So that I could say, "Hello, Molly. Welcome." Molly may have had a bad day. She may have been going round down the market, giving out her books and no one ordered. And she came into church and I said, "It's really nice to see you, Molly." And all that melted and disappeared. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if there's something that you desire, don't look down on waiting tables. This is why I'm bringing this portion of scripture. Take personal responsibility. It says this: "It would not be right for us," Paul says, "to neglect the ministry of the word." Now, he knew that God had given him something to do. The truth is, you cannot be in two places at once, can you? You can't. Well, maybe with Google nowadays you could, but not in the flesh. You cannot be in two places at once. And Paul wasn't being arrogant here. He was saying, God's given me a responsibility. So I'm saying to us as a church, part of taking responsibility is recognizing who we are and we do what God called us to do. We be who God's called us to be. And he says here, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word. I'm called to feed people. God has given me something to do in order to wait tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men who have nothing better to do. It doesn't say that, does it? Molly looked up then. I was just seeing if he was paying attention, Molly. She was just about to say, "Hang on a minute." It doesn't say that. It says this. And you don't hear it preached very often. It says, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So in order to take personal responsibility, we need to, one, know that we're sinners saved by grace and it's our responsibility to repent. You cannot do it for me, I cannot do it for you. For us to take personal responsibility is for us to seek out the truth for ourselves and not listen to ministry tapes, podcasts. It's for us to read the Bible for ourselves, to dig into the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin, just to say, what does this actually mean? What did God say when I hear this being said? It's our responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's not Susan's responsibility to educate your child in children's church. It's Susan's responsibility to make sure they are loved and cared for and nurtured and in a safe place. And yes, hopefully guided and directed towards the love of God. It's our responsibility. It's my responsibility to look after my children. It's not your responsibility to make sure that my prayer life is where it should be. It's my responsibility. And it's not my responsibility to make sure yours is. So if we're going to take personal responsibility, one, we need to realize that if we wanted the rights that go along with being a child of God, in John 1:9, as it says, yet to all who did receive him, Christ, to those who received him, who believed in his name, the name that is above every name, he gave the right to become children of God. So with that right becomes responsibilities. And we, I believe, to repeat what that lovely lady said to me a few weeks ago, I want to be challenged. I want to be challenged. If we want to be challenged, we need to take personal responsibility. Not to be swayed by someone else. That's what they said to Jesus. We know you're a man of the truth. You're not swayed by other people. Growing up in school was quite difficult for me, because I was that thorn in the flesh to most of my teachers. I was the one that would go, why? Why are we doing that? Well, we've always done it. Well, why have we always done it? Does it work? No. Well, why do it then? I would challenge it. Not because I was challenging for challenge's sake, but I just couldn't get it. The way my mind used to compute and still computes, I see things in pictures. And as AJ reminds me, it goes straight over his head. Sorry about the illustrations, AJ. But each to their own. I see things in pictures and I see it before it happens. And I go, why? Why are we doing this? The Bible says that when someone asks you a question, be ready with an answer. Don't be swayed by other people. Some of you have a higher IQ than others. Most of you have a higher IQ than me. But it doesn't mean I'm dumb, does it? It doesn't mean that I'm insignificant. It means that I am who God's called me to be. And I am that person that will fight for you. And you are that person that will fight for me. You are that person that will be able to write down what I'm thinking, because I can't. You are that person that will wrestle. Take personal responsibility as we come to the end of this year. Look into God's word. See what it says to you. Not only what it says to you, see what it says. I hope that's a challenge enough. I'll ask this person at the end of church if she was challenged. But it is good, isn't it? Because we're in a safe environment. In the sense that church can never be safe, because we can always be convicted and convinced of the things that we should have done and we haven't done, the things we did say and we shouldn't have said. That's where personal responsibility comes in. Where I said to my foreman, it was me. That's what you have to do. Keep short accounts. If you've upset a loved one, take responsibility. Yeah, but she left the lid off the toothpaste. That wasn't my fault that I got upset with her. I used to get upset with that kind of thing. There was a chap, Robert Marsbach, he came here some years ago, and he said this, and he really taught me something. He said, I used to get infuriated with my wife. She would always leave the dressing table drawer out. Always leave it out. Every time I walked in, the drawer was out. I used to get mad. And he said, I went to prayer and going, God, help her, change her. And then he realized that all he had to do was shut the drawer. Problem solved. He walks into the bedroom, he shuts the drawer. He took personal responsibility. It's not her fault, it's his fault that he's getting upset with something his wife is doing. Shut the drawer. So shut the drawer in your life. Whatever it is, take personal responsibility. I don't want to say any more than that. So let's just pray, invite our team back to lead us in a hymn, and just reflect on that if we want the rights that we are entitled to because we're children of God, we have to take the responsibility. And that responsibility isn't your neighbor's, it's yours. My responsibility for me is mine. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word. Help us as we come to the end of this season in our lives to reflect on the things that we can put right. Reflect on the things that we can take personal responsibility for and say, I'm sorry. Put them right and move on. Father God, help us not to be swayed by personality, but to be swayed by the truth. That we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. If you're a person here today that has listened to the lie of someone else that says that you're useless, you'll never amount to anything, then find the truth for your life, which says, in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I can't tell you that. I can only ask you to find it for yourself. Maybe you're someone that's looking for truth. You've been wandering. And you're saying, Lord, I want to sweep my house clean. I want to get rid of some of my attitudes and my addictions. I don't want to say the things I've been saying. I don't want to do the things I've been doing. And you sweep your house clean and you feel good for a week. Well, know this. The truth is, without Jesus Christ coming to inhabit that empty space, then the enemy will come back and you'll have 7 times as much hassle. Take personal responsibility. Sweep your house clean. Invite Jesus in. Father God, we thank you that you are a good God, that you challenge us because you love us. You feed us because you care for us, that you equip us, and that you've given us the right to become children with the responsibility of how we live. Bless us in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.
Okay, shall we stand? Just as the others are coming up, can just remind you that if you have the computer questionnaires that we sent out a few weeks ago, if you get them to me as soon as possible, as we'll be kind of collating all of that over the next week or two now. I'm going to do a couple of carols to finish with. Let's remember as we go into Christmas time all that God has done for us, and let's worship as we sing these final two.
Mild, God and sinners reconciled.
let's close in prayer. That last hymn was my mother's favourite carol, should I say. So I just want to close by saying that, just take a moment just to reflect. As a fellowship and as a family, we have seen loved ones depart from this earth. The last service we have before Christmas Day, unless you come on Christmas Day, is today. So let's be thankful for the impartation of wisdom that we've gained over the years by those that we care about. Let's be mindful of their families and friends. Let's take personal responsibility to be the best that we can be. Before we close this service, I want to just say, to take personal responsibility in the Christian sense is to first acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved. So let's just ask God to come into our lives afresh and reveal himself to us personally. Father, come, we pray in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Please stay and have some fellowship.